Welcome to the Doug Haldeman Show, Mortgage and Real Estate Talk, a show committed to educating, empowering, and entertaining you while saving you thousands. Here's your host, mortgage expert and consumer advocate, Doug Haldeman.
Formal education will make you a living. Self-education will make you a fortune. It's time to gain knowledge and become the guardian of your financial future. I want to thank our sponsor, Cornerstone Mortgage, known for having the lowest rates and the smoothest closings.
If you have a question you would like addressed on the air, you can call or text the show at 314-472-DOUG. That's 472-DOUG, which is 3684. All the information from our show is on our website at smartwithyourmoney.com.
Smartwithyourmoney.com. I am joined by my co-host, my beautiful wife, Tammy Haldeman.
Thanks for having me today.
Yeah, it's always good to spend my Sunday with you and with our vast listening audience.
Yes, it is.
These thousands of people all across the metro area and beyond.
Yeah, it kind of opens up some doors for talking to people, and it's been a wonderful ride.
Well, it's interesting because when we started this show in 2012, okay, mm-hmm. we're in our fifth year now of doing the show. Mm-hmm. You and I weren't even married yet.
That's right.
So we both had gone through divorces, mm-hmm. met each other and dated, and we'd been together for a couple of years at that point.
Right.
Or actually, not even a couple of years. When we started the show,
yeah.
I'd only been together about a year.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think you're right.
So, you know, we became engaged, got married, and now mm-hmm. we've had multiple years of you co-hosting the show with me, and we've gotten mm-hmm. to combine, you know, create our blended family with mm-hmm. my five kids and your three kids.
That's right.
To turn into our eight kids between us and,
right.
and then add a grandbaby to the mix.
I added the grandbaby. He's so sweet. He's three already.
It's crazy, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
So, you know, I thought it would be appropriate, and this was actually your idea, and I totally agree with you, is when we talk about the perils of a blended family, there's mm-hmm. a lot of questions that we get because blending our two families wasn't easy.
It was definitely a challenge at times and still is. I don't expect that to change too much. You know, as the kids get older, they have different needs, and that's just really how it goes.
And I think we want to preface this by saying the fact that we've actually been pretty successful at it.
Mm-hmm.
So just the fact that it hasn't been easy doesn't mean it hasn't been successful.
Yeah,
it's been successful, but with some pitfalls along the way.
Sure. Lots of learning, lots of growing. I mean, we have 8 different types of personalities in our household. So, you know, that alone is interesting. But what we wanted to do is kind of take some time out to share with you some steps. We kind of narrowed it down to 7. Gosh, we could talk, you know, for all day on this subject, but we wanted to kind of go over these real quick with you.
All right. So these are our blended family steps. So step one,
mm-hmm.
step down your expectations of how quickly your blended family will bond and find harmony.
Right. Right.
I'll let you talk about this, Tammy, because this is something that because your three kids were already out of the house by the time we combined our family. So I think
right.
that you had to deal with this more than I did.
Yeah, I definitely did, because I was basically moving in, and it was a daily interaction with your children. And granted, we have them 50% of the time, but it was still trying to develop that relationship with the new kids for me and the new stepmom for them. And, you know, I think the number one principle from the Bible that stands out is patience. Love is patience. That was a big deal. Just really being patient with myself, with you, with the kids, and just slowing things down and not expecting them all just to be magically perfect. I don't know that that's even possible to
well,
be perfect.
I liked your analogy of the slow cooker. Tell that
the
one.
Slow cooker. Yeah, I said it. You know, we watch enough movies to see that, you know, things just go really fast for people in the movies. They get married with the new kids. I'm trying to think of that movie that it was, Mine, Yours, and Ours, or something like that.
Yeah, Yours, Mine, and Ours.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Anyway, I think you got to think of things like either a slow cooker or a microwave, because microwave's super fast and a slow cooker is just going to take time. So think of your blended family as a putting it in a slow cooker.
When they say the average step family needs 5 to 7 years mm-hmm. to form a true family identity.
Definitely so. And definitely so. And I started seeing the family identity for you and I with your children probably in year two or three. So it started to kind of, the stories I was sharing with you earlier is that the stories that you and your children had were all in the past and were all with you and your ex, and it was all good stuff. And, you know, as the step parent walking into that, you feel a little intimidated, not going to lie, sitting there hearing all the good stuff. Well, why are you guys divorced then if you had all this good stuff?
Yeah, life
going
was that
on?
Great. Why?
You know, so you kind of, as a step parent, you have to be patient and understand that you're going to create those same memories with those children. You're
right,
going to get
time,
an opportunity.
Over time is when new stories happen of things right. that happened since the relationship started.
Right. And so. Yeah, now we have family pictures and portraits and albums.
We have a whole wall of family art from the kid art that you actually put them in frames and put them up on the wall, a whole wall of them.
Yep.
It was very cool. All right, step number two, Tammy.
Yep. Step two, the couple's relationship is by far the most important in the step family, and yet it can be the weakest link to moving forward. And what I mean by that is you get lost in the shuffle a little bit, and you know, you got married for a reason because you felt the connection, you got each other, and you know, I wasn't intimidated with five kids, but what happens is that the relationship, because you got to take kids to baseball, cheerleading, gymnastics, whatever it is, you know, we had so much going on in those first few years, and man, it's, you do really hit the ground running versus when you first meet each other and you create your family together, it's a little slower pace. So you got to remember to go back to the slow cooker in the relationship.
Well, and I think one benefit of being in a divorced home is that, you, like in our instance, we have the kids 50% of the time. So the 50% we don't have them, you and I have time for date nights. We've gone on vacations and things like that.
Yeah, we've tried to do good with that. I mean,
we really try
we
to
still,
feed our relationship and keep it important.
There's still things that we have to work on. It's just, it's part of, I think, any relationship.
In case you just joined us, you're listening to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1. We're talking about the steps to have a smooth, blended family if you're on your second marriage or if you have stepkids in a situation. So.
Yep.
Step number three, Tammy.
This one was something you really felt moved to, and this was step up the healing between the exes. You want to go with that?
Yeah, I think that the healing the relationship with the ex-spouses, and I mean that from both parties, okay? I think that the new person coming in the relationship, so for me, establishing a relationship with your ex-husband, and for you, establishing a relationship with my ex-wife. There's automatically this wall that can go up in a lot of those relationships where there can be, you know, let me just give a couple of principles. So like with your ex-husband, for instance, we're pretty close. We all went camping together for Father's Day this year. But that didn't happen immediately. It definitely was part of the slow cooker. And for me as a guy, I had to make sure that there was never any competition that started to form between the two of us. I can't let the male egos kick in, because that could escalate out of control. So for me, you know, I just try to establish a relationship with him that's not built on any type of competition. I try not to replace him as a father with, you know, with your three kids and the three kids you guys had together. Now I want to fill an important role in their life that's different than him, but I will never do anything to diminish his relationship with them.
Right.
That's his relationship. And you've done a fantastic job, Tammy, at establishing a relationship with my ex, all the way to the point that most of the communication with the kids now, I'm in on the communication, but it's really between my ex and you. And I'm just a bystander on the broadcast text messages. And that's fine with me. That it works out great.
Right. So what he's talking about is early on we developed a group text message to try to keep each other on the same page. And there were ups and downs in it, but in the end, it has been the best thing so that we're all three on the same page.
Well, and here's the easy communication gap that happens is, you know, it went, before there was a group text message, I get a text message from the ex, something about the kids, because when you have five kids going back and forth between the houses, there's all kinds of communication that has to go on. So then by the time I get home from work, I have to try to remember to tell you about the eight different things that have gone on, and invariably I'm going to forget two out of the eight things, and now you've been left out of the communication, and I'm constantly stepping in doo-doo over over not, you know, not communicating properly. Mm-hmm. So just having a group text solved a lot of those issues.
It was hard, yeah, in the beginning. So we learned fairly quickly that we needed to bridge that gap in communication. So that was a big deal. But it did take that healing to happen between all of us to understand each other's roles. And I remain silent in a lot of those text messages you guys have together when it's some housekeeping or disagreements. We're still kept in the circle, but I feel like I don't need an interject on something like that when you guys are discussing it. So
right. Yeah. All right, let's keep moving here. So let's go on to step number four is to step in line as a parental team.
Right. I think one thing that is important when you get married, you know, you kind of forget about some things to ask about, and one of them is parenting styles. So Doug and I happen to be very, very similar on parenting styles. There's still some differences, and Angela and I are pretty different on our parenting styles, but there's some common things with that her and I can agree on. And when you can find those things that you agree with each other, that's where the support goes. That's where, because it you're serving the kids. It's the consistency. It's trying to develop, because you have two households now. Those kids have two households. And trying to create those rules in each household, trying to keep them as same as possible with the different parenting styles. You know, it's all in the effort to try to raise these young adults is what we're trying to do.
And here's the tough line on that is that you're not always going to have the same rules from one household to another, because that may be part of the reason why you got divorced in the first place, mm-hmm. is because you want to parent differently, and you're not going to force the other parent mm-hmm. To enforce their rules in your house if you don't think that those rules are right. So you do have to evaluate those and figure out. I mean, I'll say that there are many times that the parent in the other household wants something to be a certain way, which is against the way I want to do it. And when I think about it, if it's not really a big deal, then I go ahead and concede to let it be that way, just so we can have the consistency.
Just to support her, right, and just to show, support the kids.
Right, just to show support and have consistency between the households.
Yeah. And I think it's worked out really well for us. I mean, could we improve? Of course. But I think in the long run, I think we're on the right track.
All right, so step number five is to sidestep common pitfalls. Mm-hmm. And Tammy, what are some of the common pitfalls?
The common pitfalls, basically, here, I guess one of them would be the holidays. So one parent like really likes Christmas, really wants the kids to be at Christmas time. And I really like to have Thanksgiving. So it kind of works out for us. So that just works out, but that could be a very big potential pitfall.
Money matters can be another thing that's confusing between the household.
Yeah.
That can be a major pitfall, or one that we didn't have to deal with. But when a child says, "You're not my mom, you're not my dad."
Mm-hmm. No, we haven't had to deal with that so much. The money, to not kind of go over that so quickly, because you have developed a spreadsheet, which is amazing, of course, that we all put in the expenses in and help track it to,
Yeah, and that's a whole segment in itself that I think we may do another segment on that, that particular topic.
Yep.
We're actually almost out of time, so let's jump through these next couple steps here. So step number six, step up the support for each family member.
Right. And this was important to me because I really wanted to, you got to recognize that each person in the house has different needs. And so like the youngest might need cuddle time and snuggles and reading books still, where the oldest just needs a high five and, you know, good luck today or something like that. So understanding what the needs are of the kids and the needs of the exes, and understanding the needs of each other as a couple.
All right. And then last but not least, mm-hmm. step number seven is step through the wilderness with trust and determination. Mm-hmm. So just remain dedicated to gradually forming a family identity over time. And everyone's going to end up being blessed in the end. Mm-hmm. Okay? And remember that there is a honeymoon for couples in step families. It just comes at the end of the journey, not at the beginning.
Very true.
All right. If you want to see these steps, visit our website at smartwithyourmoney.com and look for the blended families with the different steps on there. Mm-hmm. So coming up, we're going to be talking about how not to inflate your lifestyle as your income starts to go up over time. You'll listen to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.